This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And to start off the show, as regular, well, as usual every fortnight, we have our own Shen, who's in here to talk about all things art and gossip.
Hello, Neil, and hello, David.
Hello.
How are you on this Sunday afternoon?
Excellent, Very good, thank you. Always excellent on the Sunday afternoon. Now, listen, I think that we should start off the biggest act in town right this very moment, apart from... yeah, like so many other shows, including Harry Potter and Jersey Boys.
So you mean just one of the many?
The comedy festival is on, a Melbourne International Comedy Festival. I always have a problem whether comedy is art. Now, they bill it as the biggest arts festival in Australia, and it's the biggest festival in Australia regardless, and it's so much fun. And I went to see Hans on Friday night. It's absolutely hysterical. He's so much fun. But what? Come on, boys, give me your impression. You know, like, Roel, we'll start with you. Is comedy art?
Look, I have a love-hate relationship with the comedy festival, and I know many of my colleagues, some actually take the month off and go away and do other things, and because they don't like to go to the comedy festival, because sometimes it can be a bit too hard, and you know, having to queue up and being herded like cats into the many one of the many venues around Melbourne, and then you know, shows don't start on time, and then you've got to rush off, especially if you're doing multiple shows a night, especially if you're reviewing as well. And again, that's one of my pet hates, is when the shows don't go up on time, and then it means that you're either late to another show or you don't get to another show.
Nothing's on time these days, is it? I don't know very much, especially in the theatre world. Unless you're a Harry Potter, which everything would have to be dead on time for that.
Well, look, I had a giggle, and just digressing for a moment, had someone bitch to me last week that Muriel's Wedding just went on for just under 3 hours. And I said, well, it did go up late at both Act One and Act Two, trying to get herding those celebrities back into their seats after interval and, you know, those few drinks. But, you know, comedy, look, some of it is art. There's a percentage of the art.
Well, like cabaret.
The cabaret side comedy. and you know, the physical theatre side, like the boys who are performing in the Spiegel Tent at the moment on Elixir Headfirst Acrobats, I think one of the top-notch award-winning acrobatic teams. And, you know, they put a bit of humour into the work they do.
Yeah.
So there you are getting art or a physicality of art there.
But what about all the people that just stand on stage and make a hell of a lot of money, some of those big names, and all they do is stand there until... And a lot of them, we're not seeing a new show.
No, we're not. And look, and I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to have the...
Because that's not what we do.
I'm not going to do the Hall of Shame, but there are some presenters on mainstream television who get up every year and present shows at the comedy festival, and they're awful. They're simply awful. They take the audience for granted, that they're going to fork out their good hard-earned dollars for them to do nothing for an hour. And I thought it was embarrassing that a certain presenter on a mainstream television. But then you get the flip side, you know. You get Hannah Gadsby, who took a bit of a break.
Yep.
After doing Nanette, took it to New York. It's been on Netflix. Now she's come back with a follow-up called Douglas. And, you know, people are scrambling to get a ticket.
Yeah, well, it's sold out,
and because
it?
And the Arts Centre are trying to manoeuvre venues to accommodate the tickets for it. And so, look, I think that's art, because you're getting... she tells a bit of a story.
Yep.
There's a bit of a narrative,
yep,
but it's all about her life experience as well. So, look, there is some parts of it that are artistic. Some may say autistic, but then there are others who I think just take the audience for mugs, and they should really reflect on what they're doing.
Well, I went to Hans on Friday night. That man is a great showman. He is, But he plays a classical piece on the piano. It was spectacular. And then, of course, the piano accordion, tap dances,
yep.
does the splits. Make sure you got, if you're going to see him, make sure you got your camera ready to get the splits at the end. You know, like, what a talent. You know, like, and his mum makes all these sparkly costumes. Which makes it even funnier. So, Neil, what's your slant? What do you think about comedy? Is it art?
I think it is, David.
Oh,
you know, far be from me to disagree with you. No, look, I think there is, but I agree with Rowan that look, there are obviously a lot of there may be some lazy performers out there, but that's I think in any sort of thing. I mean, I think art takes a very broad broad perspective of a lot of things. I mean, if you think about it nowadays with things like the Fringe Festival, you know, the Mel, there are so many different art forms. You talk about, I mean, there's lots of crossovers. You know, you've got cabaret that sort of crosses over to comedy, you know, that crosses over to just a general performance art. Mm. And then also, I think art's taken a much broader view than what we traditionally would have just thought of fine arts and, you know, and sculpture and everything else.
Absolutely.
So I think that there's the performance part of comedy is definitely art. I think a lot of people put a lot of work into it. So obviously that goes without saying that they put a lot of it. But is it? Yeah, I think
a comedian standing on a stage.
Look, that's the thing. I mean, it's
45 minutes.
I suppose what you're saying is stand up art, and I think it can be. You know, I think that maybe some of the performances aren't that artistic only because I think maybe it has become a bit routine for them. But I think that it can be, and especially when a lot of them have narratives and when they do work on new shows. And and I think that there is a bit of there is a performance around it. I mean, it's not just telling a story or telling a joke. So,
or the art of telling a story.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
I suppose.
And I just hope that people, you know, like, take a risk sometimes. When I didn't live in Melbourne, I came across for the comedy festival. I used to take a bit of a risk and go see an unknown or an unknown act just to see what they were like.
Yep.
And you do find some gems amongst that. So, and look, tickets, there are some cheap tickets out there to get, so you can take that risk.
Yep.
And if you happen to... Especially this week, you may even be able to score a free ticket, you know, when producers are trying to boost up their houses.
Yep.
The word of mouth. So earlier in the comedy festival, because we're only into, day three or four of it. But my advice is take a risk and go see someone that you may not have heard of before.
Mm.
You might be pleasantly surprised.
All right, West Side Story. I think I've heard about this musical once or twice before. It keeps on rearing its head.
Look, I've been lucky. Australia's going to see two productions of West Side Story this year. I saw West Side Story or the Story on the Harbour, commonly known as Outside Story. Last Friday on the Harbour, and it was absolutely...
You mean Sydney Harbour?
In Sydney Harbour. Yep. So absolutely stunning, you know, sitting on Sydney Harbour.
Because the Australian Opera does something on the harbour every year.
Every year. And this is the first year that they've decided to take a classical musical.
Yep.
Because the West Side Story does lend itself to the operatic canon.
Well, it was one of the first ever written, away from opera, with it being more commercial, but there were still opera singers that actually
sang. That's right. And, you know, Jerome Robbins, who created the concept of West Side Story, has been, you know, has been given this new life on this grand scale, albeit that it did rain for the first act last Friday night, which actually added to it.
Right. So the production that's coming here, who's
is,
that?
The production that's coming to Arts Centre Melbourne this week, we've seen it before in Melbourne.
Okay.
Played at the Regent Theatre about 10 years ago.
Yep.
So Joel McNeely was one of Jerome Robbins' protégés. So he's tasked with recreating the choreography. And there is a style to Jerome Robbins' choreography.
Yeah.
So we go to see a young cast for this, which is probably in keeping
what it should be.
Where it is. A very...
Because for anyone that doesn't know, it's sort of it's like the street gangs of New York, isn't it?
That's right. It's the Puerto Rican versus the Jets.
Who are mostly Italian.
Street gang, American. So there is that talk about there's themes which are really, really relevant today about, you know, that us and them and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And the dance routines are amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
You know, like, but some of the songs as well, songs that we, household names, you know, like Maria, of course.
And Tonight.
Tonight. Oh, my God, what a song that is.
And Somewhere, which everyone, well, every gay man would have it as their anthem because Barbara Streisand made it famous.
Absolutely. And of course, one of my favourite songs from it, I Want to Live in America. I love that track. And the dancing in that
is absolutely stunning.
Yeah. So
that.
You've never seen it. I think it's important that we all... Have you ever seen it, Neil?
I've not seen it as a musical. I've just obviously
seen the movie. Right.
The one with Natalie Wood years ago.
But you know, you've got to see it.
Yep.
You know, like, and to be quite honest, I've seen it far too many times on stage, because it has, you know, like, come around a few times, hasn't it?
Well, it has. We've seen this or probably in Melbourne. We saw the production company do it only a few years ago. As I said, this version of West Side Story played at the Regent not more than 10 years ago. So
no, I don't think it was that long. I think it was about eight years ago.
Yep. So, but look, it's a stunning production, stunning score. Yep. And, you know, if you do want to go see a true Broadway musical, West Side Story is actually probably the one to do it.
Okay, now a musician has passed who was a household name on television. Midday television.
Yeah, Geoffrey Harvey, OAM, who used to be the musical director at Channel 9, was, you know, conducted the band on many of the daytime television shows, also, you know, Carols by Candlelight as well. He was, and it's really sad because he was currently on tour with Senior Moments.
Right.
And he had been ill for the past few days. They were performing in Penrith this week. And unfortunately, Mr. Harvey has become ill because, you know, he's 83 and still doing it at 83. Mm. So it's probably a sad time for the cast of Senior Moments.
Yeah.
And, you know, Geoffrey did work with the who's who of the biz. And, you know, there was, in the last 24 hours, there's been a outpouring of emotion from all our leading stars because I think everyone would have worked with Geoff Harvey. And, of course, he was the consummate musician, but he was also a gentleman and really looked after his talent.
Mm.
And very sad news.
I went to a CD launch earlier this week, and it's by... We actually did an interview with them on Sunday Arts about 2 years ago when they released their first album. They've just released their second album, and we're doing an interview with them next week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called The Song Tailors. And it's all the songs are written by Ruth Picker, and she's a great songwriter. She's a really, really good songwriter. And the album's produced by James Kempster, who's involved in production company and plays in many orchestras. There's touring shows. It is just a delight, the music that she produces. And there's this 12-year-old girl that she met on Instagram from America, and they became friends, and you know, she would send her songs, and the 12-year-old, and she and Ruth said, record a song. I've written a song for you. I'm sending it over. Can you go to a recording studio, do it? And it's on it. And this young girl has been in Australia, you know, like doing the rounds and was at the launch. And this is really great music, people. So as I said, next week we're talking to Ruth. But here's a taste of one of the tracks from it. Neil, which one is it?
It's called Beautiful Day for Flying.
And this is a great track, people. It's a really good, it's not the 12-year-old, but it's really fantastic. So let's have a listen to it. This is the song Tailors, and it's A Good Day for Flying.
So still, when I'm missing you, to you goodbye. Need to go, have to fly. Open the air again. Know how you love it up there. And I would take you if I could. But I'll be home soon. I'll come back to you like I always do. It's a beautiful day for flying.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.